Thank you, Brandy. Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. The title of our message is The Wonders of Our God's Creation. The Wonders of Our God's Creation. Agar says here in verse 18, "There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of a sea, and the way of a man with a maiden or a virgin." Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, as we consider the wonders of our great God and creation here this morning, Father, I thank you that you're a wonder-working God. And Father, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth your handiwork. Father, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father, you've created us from the dust of the earth and breathed into us the breath of life. Father, you made man a living soul. And Father, we're made in the image of God, created you, man. So Lord, as we consider the wonders of our great God, Father, I pray that we would walk away with a deep and abiding appreciation of what you've done and just who you are. So Lord, bless us as we gather around your word here this morning, and guide me that I might bring glory and honor to your name, advance your kingdom, honor your son, and please you in all that's done. Thank you for being our God, and thank you for holding our right hand through each step of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, four which I do not understand. Have you ever wondered how light from a yellow sun through a blue sky to brown dirt that makes green grass that a brown cow eats that makes white milk? Have you ever figured all that out, how that works? Isn't that a wonder how that works? You know, we have just a wonder-working God. And God has created so many things that just you see the wonder of it all. And what we don't want to do in our lives is things to become commonplace. I remember a story years ago, it's a true story. This young man that's an up-and-going type of person, a go-getter type of person, and he went to a funeral trying to work it into his busy schedule, and then the funeral's over and he's wanting to leave, but all the flowers are there and people are in the aisle, and this older couple was bent over smelling some roses that were blocking his way, and they were talking to each other about how beautiful the flowers were, and he was just irritated. He couldn't get around them to be on with his busy life, and the old gentleman stood up and turned to this young man and said to him, "Young man, it took me a whole lifetime to learn to stop and smell the roses." And the young man felt a little bit rebuked because in his life, he's always so busy, but he misses the beauty of the rose right before him and the fragrance that God gave to the rose for us to enjoy. You know, we can be so busy in life and just don't take time. How many of you have ever been blessed by a sunset that you've seen? Have you ever been blessed by just the beauty of a sunset? And I remember this true story again. This mom was in the kitchen doing her dishes. And her kid came in. "Mom, you got to come see this." And she was like, "I got to get the dishes done." And this little kid just would not stop. He was pulling, "Mom, you got to come." So finally she threw down her dish towel, went outside, and it was the most beautiful sunset she ever saw. You know, sunsets don't last long. You look at them for a few moments and then what? They're gone. And she said to herself, "I am so glad my little boy drug me out of the kitchen." Because she said, "My dishes will always what? Be there." You know, the sunsets come and go so quickly. And you know, for Agar here, as he looked at life, there are three things that are too wonderful for me. Yes, four, which I do not understand. As he just thought about God's creation and how God has made the world, And I'm fearful for us as God's people that we won't take time to realize how great God is. Because when the heavens declare the glory of God, how many of you ever seen some of the pictures from the Hubble telescope of the heavens and all the gases and all the starry hand? It's just amazing. You can look at them and it just seems like there's another star behind that star that's behind that star that's behind that star. I mean, the galaxies just go on forever. But the Bible says God calls them all by what? By name. Isn't that just wonderful? Do you understand that? If you do, I'd like a piece of your brain because I don't understand that, okay? If you can spare it, share it with humanity, because the creation of God is without expression. It's hard to even put into words all that God has done. Don't ever lose the wonder. Don't ever lose the awe. Don't ever lose the, how did God do that? Because if you do, you're starting to miss what God has given to us as his people. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, for what I do not understand. It's a poetic way, it's a Jewish way of saying, look, I just don't understand how God made these things and all that God has done for us. Well, in these verses in 19, you have an eagle in the air. That's the atmosphere. You have a serpent on the rock. That's the earth. And a ship in the midst of the sea. That's the sea. You got the air, the land, the sea. All of creation he's looking at here. All of creation. Now, when God, in Genesis 1, he said when he made things, he looked at it and said, this is good. God made all things good. And the beauty of his creation is without wonder. Well, let's talk about the eagle in the air for a minute. How fast can an eagle fly on a dive? Over 100 miles an hour, like 120. I've heard different figures, 100, 120 miles an hour. That is moving. Now, if you were going 120 miles an hour, how do you think your eyeballs would survive? How do you think? Now, guess what God gave the eagle? Multiple eyelids. Now, I heard, sometimes I heard seven, I heard nine eyelids, and they go like this, like this, like this. He has all these different eyelids to protect his eyes when he's going that fast. It's amazing. It's amazing how God has made the eagle. Now, okay, when God designed a bird, okay, do you ever wonder how a bird on a tree branch or on a power line can sit there for hours and not fall off? You ever wonder? Am I the only one that thinks like that? Okay, do you know why they don't fall off? Because the way God designed their claws and their perch, when they put pressure here, it makes their claws go like that. The pressure point here, what they're resting on, makes their claws go around it. So their weight actually holds them there. And then when they flap their wings, it releases that pressure and they're able to take off. It's not that they're grasping the power line that long. Can you see the wisdom in God, how he makes his creation? It's amazing how God has made his creation. Now, a lot in what mankind has developed and created using God's material. Okay, I want to make that point because we don't make anything. Everything we make comes from material that he gives to us to make it. We often are accompanying his creation. Like these airplanes that are aerodynamically designed, do they kind of look like a bird with their beak way out there? You know, the point on a plane and the wings. And you can just see how they're copying what God has already ordained and established. Oftentimes, our creations are no more than copying what God has already made. Well, the eagle, they're birds of prey. Now, if you're flying, now, an eagle can fly thousands and thousands of feet in altitude and never even flap its wings one time. What are they doing? They're riding what? The air currents. They're just riding the air currents. How far can an eagle see a rabbit that's away from them? How far can they spot? You ever heard the saying, an eagle eye? Somebody has an eagle eye? How far can they spot a rabbit away? How about a mile away? Now, we have, I don't understand, I'm not a doctor or son of a doctor, but in the back of a human eye, we have like 200, they say, cones of receptors of light to be able to see things. An eagle has over 1 million receptors of light. We only have 200,000. An eagle has over 1 million. When they see things, their eye can see and focus. He can find a rabbit a mile away. That is an amazing eye. Do you get just a glimpse of the wonders of God's creation, how he has made things? Now, okay, let's just say this eagle has eyes that can see and wingspans of about 7 feet that he can fly. But what if he didn't have a beak to get the meat and pick it off? Would that do him any good? Okay? Do you see how everything works together in God's creation and design? When Agar here was looking at creation, he just looked up in the sky and saw the eagle. And he said, the way of an eagle in the air. He's just marveling at how it could just soar with the air currents and not flap its wings for miles. And how all of a sudden the eagle could just swoop down and find its prey from being so far above it. You know, he was just marveling at the way God made the eagle in the air. You ever looked at, you ever seen a bird's bones on the inside? Now, our bones are dense. But bird bones, you know what about bird bones? They're hollow inside. And not only are they hollow, but they have these little tubes that go all through their bones to make them as lightweight as possible. Because guess what a bird has to do? To be a bird, it's got to what? Fly. In order to fly, weight is a real issue to you. So when you take an aircraft, they figure how many miles they got to fly. If they got to go 500 miles, they put enough fuel to just go a little bit more than 500 miles in your plane. So there's in plane flight, it's called a point of no return. You go so far, and if you're having engine problems, you can't go back because you don't have enough fuel to get back. A bird is made by God in such a way that it's lightweight, and it can fly, and the feathers all work. And he was just thinking about the wonders of God's creation, how God made the eagle all to work. Now, if you're on the side of unbelievers, if you're on the evolutionary side of things that reject the counsel of God and the wisdom of God, you have to, if God didn't create the heavens and the earth, as some people believe, then you would have to say the eagle all happened by time and by chance. That's where you have to say it, because if you go down that pathway of evolution, you have to say it by time and chance, that's how the eagle was made. If I had a jar of nothing and I left it there for a day and came back again, what would be in that jar, a jar of nothing? I'm going to add time to that, a jar. Okay, I'm going to let that jar of nothing sit there for a week and come back to it. I'm going to have a jar of nothing. If I let it sit there for 100 years and come back to a jar of nothing, I'm still going to have a jar of nothing. Time does not make things happen. Now, in evolution, they say that time plus chance equals everything, okay? But that is presupposing a certain law of order in creation, like gravity. Now, if I was to drop a pin here 100 times, pick it up, drop it, how many times would it fall to the ground? 100 times. Gravity never fails. That is a law that God has ordained. See, oftentimes we just make assumptions. Why are things as they are? What if in your coffee, what if there was no laws of creation that God's ordained? Let's just say you have coffee and you put your creamer into it, but one time you put your creamer into it and it changed your coffee into motor oil. Do you understand what I'm saying? What if it had the opposite effect of, instead of making it better, it made it worse? You say, what happened here? This isn't supposed to happen. Well, that's because God has law and order built into his creation. How about the planets that circle the sun? Perfect timing. They can back up the planet's orbit and figure out where the planets were 1,000 years ago, or move it forward by computers exactly where they're going to be 1,000 years from now, because God has ordained that. All of his creation. And so Agar here is the way of the eagle in the air. He's watching this eagle. Now, in his day, we didn't have, the Wright brothers didn't live back then. And for him, that eagle to be flying, he's probably thinking, that's pretty amazing. Now, we fly on planes and but for him, he's thinking, wow, how's that eagle even fly? How does he even know where to fly? I mean, God is so amazing. They took some homing pigeons one time. They blinded these homing pigeons, put masks on them, flew them thousands of miles away, and let them go. And guess what? Within a few months, they found their way back to where they were. How did they do that? If I dropped you off in a remote island somewhere and told you to get back home, you wouldn't know which way to go without your GPS in your back pocket. You know, you'd be so lost. And yet God can take a bird 1,000 miles away and that bird can find its way back. Only God can do that. do you get a sense of how amazing God is? Try to start. So he's looking there at the wave of an eagle in the air and just wondering, God, how did you do that? All right, let's look at the second thing that caught his eye, the wave of a serpent on a rock. Now, in creation, God cursed the serpent and said, on your belly you shall eat dust all the days of your life. A serpent has no legs. Tell me, how does a serpent move? It slithers. All right, I'm going to ask you a question here. This guy one time, he put like this sock thing on a snake. Put this sock on the snake, the whole length of him, just his head sticking out. And you know what that snake did? It just stayed there. It wiggled all up, couldn't go anywhere. You take the sock off, he's gone. How does that work? You put a sock on him, he can't go anywhere. Just cover him with a sheath. He's stuck. Take it off, he's gone. You know what God did? You ever seen scales on a snake? Did you ever notice the scales are all in the same direction? He pushes off the scales on the bottom. When he slithers, he does this, and that motion pushes. But you have to look even more careful, because when the snake goes, he actually lifts up the curved part like this. He raises up. He pushes on those two points right here, and the curved up part slings him forward. He's not flat all the time. He lifts up his outer edges, and those two points that are connecting, when he straightens out his body because the scales are there, it catapults him forward. Sounds a little bit like a designer had something to do with that. Do you know what I'm saying? And the minute you take design, see, that's why creationists hate the word design. Because if something has a design, then it implies a what? The designer. And they don't want a designer. Because if there's a designer, I might have to answer to him and give account morally for my life. And since I don't want to be held accountable for morally, I'll make my own God up, which is called idolatry, which is making man the center of creation and worshiping man and his thoughts and ideas. So Agar here, he looks up to heavens. Lord, how's that eagle fly? He looks down at the earth. Lord, how's that serpent just go up through the rocks? God had his design. God had the way that the serpent should move upon the rock. How about the way of a ship in the midst of the sea? You know, Agar may have stood at the sea and watched these ships go over the horizon. And he's probably just feeling the immensity of the sea. How big is the sea compared to the landmass in the world? It's 3/4 of the earth is water. It's immense. Do you know, I've heard different numbers here, but some has been as high as 90% of all living things live in the sea. The sea is teeming with life more than we ever can understand. And the sea is immense. The way of a ship in the midst of a sea, it just swallows it up in the midst of the sea. You know, as he looked at this ship in the sea and just how it's traveling, the waves pounding against the ship and how the ship goes over the horizon to just disappear. You ever felt the immensity? Has anybody been to the Grand Canyon and just stood over the Grand Canyon and looked at that? He said, been there? Doesn't it look immense to you just to see that hole and just it drops off? And you ever felt kind of small as a human? How about the oceans? See, the thing is, we don't know how deep it is. I mean, we know, but we don't know. Because when we look at the ocean, it's way down there. The Mariana Trench is like 7 or 8 miles down to the heart of the earth. That's a long ways. Just the immensity of God's creation. And why does God give us the air and the earth and the sea and all these things? It's to show how great he is. The wonders of God. The wonders of God. Psalm 78:4 says, we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works he has done. In creation, the wonderful works of God. This is what God has done. Psalm 107:8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 107:15 says the same thing. 107:21 says same old. Psalm 107 verse 31 says the same thing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God's wonders are amazing. Amazing. All that God has done. So for Agar here, he was trying to, he says these things, these are wonderful to me. I don't understand them. Just because you don't understand something, can you enjoy the wonders of God's creation? Can you enjoy a starry night and just look, and you don't understand it, but you can enjoy it. And you can soak it in and say, Lord, what could you have done? It's just amazing. Does the sun warm our whole planet? Okay, that's amazing. It's just the right distance. The earth's the right distance from the sun. It warms it. Does the sun ripen the tomato on your windowsill? Isn't that amazing? It can heat the whole earth, but it has enough to take care of your tomato too and not do too much. Isn't that amazing how God works that? You know, we have a great God and a good God. And that's what Agar here was just contemplating, the wonders and of his creation. The eagle in the air, the serpent on the rock, the ship in the midst of the immensity of the sea and all that God has created there. But there's another element that he looks at too in his creation. The way of a man with a maiden. The way of a man with a virgin. Has God made relationships in creation? He made the heaven and earth and sea, but he also made man to inhabit this world. Are we intruders in this world as God's people? Are we intruders? No, we're not. See, some people's thing, you got to hear people carefully. Somebody, I saw a bumper sticker that said, the earth was not made for man. The man was made for the earth. And it had the idea there that what they were trying to say was that we were like an intruder in this world. We were here, but we were like visitors in this world. No, God says we are to have dominion over the earth. We are to have our place in this creation of his and to keep and to till the land God has given to us. And within that, the way of a man with a maiden, the relationship, the human relationship, God made that. Well, let's turn to Genesis here for a minute here and just look at how God has ordained these things and just the wonders of this here. Genesis 2:21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. First, anesthesia. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made unto him a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed before the curse and the fall. You know, God made this relationship. Now, within this relationship that God made, women are totally different from men. Men are totally different from women, but God made them to be together as one flesh, this relationship. Now, what makes a woman want a man in her life? What are some of those things that draw a woman to a man? Well, a woman needs, they desire protection and security. They desire love, and they desire that to have somebody providing for them. These are things that are inbred inside of a woman's heart. What are some of the things that draw a man to a woman? The woman's beauty, her just meeting his needs to be a helpmate to him. All these things. God so made that the man needs the woman needs the man. And God made that so that relationship was to be blessed and honored before him. And so as Agar think about his creation, the earth, the sky, the earth, the sea, and the way the man is with a maiden, just all these relationships that God brings together so that this earth is inhabited in a way that honors and glorifies God. Those relationships that God has established, the way a man with a woman. It's amazing how that works. God put that into the human heart in his design in the Garden of Eden. Now, in our culture today, one man for one woman for one lifetime has been totally challenged in so many ways. Our courts say two men together is a marriage. How does God's word, what does God's word have to say about that? No, it's not the way God meant it to be. And common sense, you put two men together in an island, how many children are they going to have for offspring? And 100 years from now, there's going to be what? No one living on that island. They're done. I mean, it just goes against creation and the way God has ordained things. But the wonder of it all, man, you'll never figure out your wife, okay? No, because God made a woman that way. You can't figure them out, but you love them. And women, you can't figure out your husband either, okay? It works both ways. But we love one another. The way of a man with a maiden. It's the wonders of God's creation. The beauty of love and romance and courtship and everything that God has made, the giving of children and the raising of children and then the empty nest and then grandchildren and then going out into eternity. God has made all these things that he's created, the path of life, the stages of life we all go through. And as Agar here was contemplating God's creation, he was thinking about relationships, a man with a woman and all that God has built into that. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. So as you move forward in your life this week, do you ever look up in the sky and just say, Lord, that's incredible. Aren't you glad God made laws of aerodynamics that Boeing 747 doesn't come crashing down in your house? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't just like drop right out of the sky like a rock, but the lift and how that plane wing's designed and that the air currents and it creates a low pressure zone under the wing and that lifts that plane off the ground. It works every time. You get enough air current, shape of the wing, and things up in the air. Now, if God's natural laws hold true every time, does his spiritual laws hold true every time? They do. If God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, does that hold true all the time, just like gravity? You know, as much as we can depend upon the natural laws that we see all around us, God's spiritual laws are just as much as in fact, and they don't decline over the years. We can trust God's creation. So this week, as you move forward through this week, think about the wonderful works of God and all that he has done for you in your life, in the creation. In Acts 2:11, when the Spirit of God came down and they were all speaking in tongues, the language of the Cretes and the Arabians and everybody that was gathered there, do you ever catch that little phrase there in Acts 2:11? We do hear then speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And may that what we do this week as God's people is to speak the wonderful works of God. Let us pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, I know that your word does not return void and empty of what it was sent to do. And Father, thank you for your creation. Lord, thank you for the eagle that flies in the air. And thank you for the snake that just crawls among the rocks and propels itself forward. And Father, thank you for the way of a ship in the sea and just the majestic ocean, Lord, how it swallows up the ship and just its immensity and power. And Father, thank you for the human relationships you've given to us between a husband and wife and the richness that that gives to each of us, Lord. And Father, may we live our lives in such a way that we speak of the wonderful works of God continually. Father, help us never to treat them as commonplace or to treat them in such a way that diminishes your greatness and your glory. Father, help us to have eyes to see all that you have done for us in Christ Jesus, and help us have eyes to see all that you've done for us in creation to bring glory to your name. And truly, Father, the heavens declare the glory of God. And Father, may we see your glory in all of creation, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.